man, you guys, let me tell you, you're a little bit more on fire than the first service. So something going on here, right? So, because I had like two or three, you know, you know what it is, they probably just got up early and, you know, still wiping the sleet away from their eye, all that stuff, right? But then I said, okay, wait, oh, you got three, and then all of a sudden everybody raised their hand. So they got woken up real quick. So we want revival. Anybody, what would you say revival looks like? I just thought I'd ask that question. What do you think revival looks like? Anybody have any idea? Does anybody really care? Well, we kind of care, but, you know, really, it's, you know, revival is messy. It's messy, okay? People from all sorts of backgrounds come to Jesus, all those kind of things. But here's the first thing God messes with, his church, us. So I'm just going to be real with you today. If you're not willing to be messed with, then you really don't want revival. Because before we have a revival, there first must be an awakening. An awakening in our spirit. That goes very deep, okay? But you know, it's so cool how God is, because how many know God's patient? He's long-suffering with us. And oh, by the way, if you have your Bibles, open them up to 2 Chronicles 7. We're going to be going to a lot of scripture here. If you're taking notes, you can write on the back of your bulletin there. But today, I want to kind of hitchhike and stay in the flow of what Pastor started here a few weeks ago. Of course, you know, a couple weeks ago we had our war week. Wasn't that an incredible week of time of prayer and intercession? God is moving. We had people calling us, and I know some of you may have had other people call you or text you or Facebook you. One day I put it on Facebook, hey man, if you need prayer, private message myself or Jill. And we had several people from around the country just, you know, say, hey, pray for us, da-da-da-da. You know, churches in turmoil, pastors in turmoil, friends, just families in turmoil. And so, you know, God's doing something in the arena of prayer. And so I wanted to kind of stay in that flow today. The message I'm going to share with you today, I spoke it about 2.5 years ago here on a Wednesday. So most of you probably weren't here. Some of you were here. Okay, so I felt like the Lord wanted us to revisit that. But before I share that, 2 weeks ago, and by the way, if you weren't here Wednesday, this past Wednesday, I guess Dwayne Levick brought an incredible word. So on worship, and boy, we experienced that this morning, Miss Allie. I mean, we're in it with Jesus, you know. God's speaking to his church. But you know what it is? It's the remnant. It's the 10%ers. And now, this is biblical. You know, think about how many disciples, out of all the thousands of people that knew about Jesus when he walked the earth, how many actually followed him? Very small percentage, right? There was a point there in John 9 where there was about 70 or so, and Jesus said to him, or John's chapter 6, Jesus basically said to him, hey guys, if you want to be a part of me, you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And that's just like, oh wow, what's this guy talking about, man? Eating flesh and drinking blood? He's talking about the Spirit. He's in the Spirit, right? Well, they didn't understand that. So it says there in John 6, verse 63, says many of them, if you look at that word, it's the majority, walked with him no more. And Jesus, I love this, didn't apologize. He didn't apologize. He let him go. In fact, he looked at the 12. He said, you guys want to go too? You look it up. He said, you guys want to go too? But Peter had enough horse sense to say, where are we going to go, Lord? You got the words of life. We need you, right? So, point is, God's moving in the earth. Don't get caught up with crowds. Are you hearing me today? Crowds. You know, with this church, with many of the pastors, I know we're more concerned of not building crowds, but building the church, building men and women, young people for God. It's about people and it's about relationship. Okay? And so So all of this is going to tie in to how many, by the way, how many said you want to see revival? How many was that again? Yeah, okay. About everybody here. Okay. That means we got to have renewal. And we're going to talk about, I'm going to give you today the five most dangerous prayers that you can pray. Because, see, if we're going to have, if I'm going to have revival, I got to allow the Lord to mess with me. Okay? And I'm learning this to never say, sometimes I slip, but to never say, you know what I learned? No, it's, you know what I'm learning? Because we're in a process. And here's the good news, that you can just, everybody just do that. Take a deep breath. You can chill out because God's not in a hurry. He's not in a hurry. And he's not mad at you. You know, he's long-suffering, okay? He allows us to go through this process called life. And life sometimes has its ups and downs and its victories and its losses, its pain. But I know personally that, and I shared this with Pastor Tommy, I can just be real with you, that oftentimes God speaks the loudest to us when we're in our darkest place. He doesn't shout at us from the mountaintop. It's typically when we're in the valley or we're in the pit. And, you know, back in 1901, the world was in a pit. Okay? And the reality is, there's nothing new under the sun. Sin is sin. People are in need. People are broken. People are lost. There's still a devil out there. But Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I said all that to say this. I'm going to read you a little blurb here that I got out of the book. I don't even remember the book. I just copied this down. It's by Pastor Tommy Barnett, but he tells a story about a young man. Okay, listen to this. Now, this is a young man who's a person just like you and I, desperate for God. Says this, in 1901, God used a young 25-year-old Welsh coal miner by the name of Evan Roberts to bring an awakening to the church and revival to the nations. For 13 years, someone say 13 years. 13 years. He didn't pray once, pray for a week, whatever. 13 years, Evan Roberts had prayed for a move of God's Spirit. Every time the church doors were open, this young man was there on the front row. Boy, wouldn't it be awesome to see that today? Thank you, Ruth, for that. Yes, amen. Every time the doors were open, he's in there on the front row. 1 year prior to the revival that hit the nation of Wales, the Spirit of God broke through and washed over this young man. Telling the story, there's a young man sitting right where you guys are this morning. It was Isaac. Isaac on the guitar. I said, brother, God's washing over you, man. Don't we want God to wash over us? It's just not going to happen when we're glued to this thing. Hello. Woohoo. 1 year prior to this revival, the Spirit of God broke through and washed over this young man. He prayed so loud and so hard that his landlady kicked him out of his apartment. And here was his prayer. Bend me, bend me, bend me, O Lord. This young man was willing to pay the price. He sold everything he had to pay his bills. He even tried to pay others for the opportunity to preach, but the doors were closed to him until he went to his own pastor and asked, would you allow me to preach here? At first, the pastor said no, but Evan kept begging him until the pastor finally said, if you're willing to stay after on a Wednesday night, and if anyone stays, you can preach to them. 17 people stayed. And he started out by saying, I have a message from God. Any man with a message from God can shake the world. Someone say amen. Amen. Robert's message was simple. His message was concise. His message was anointed. And here's what it was. Number one, if you want to take these notes real quick. Number one, You must confess every known sin to God and make right every sin known unto man. Number two, you must remove doubtful habits from your life. Number three, you must obey the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And number four, you must go public with your witness for Jesus Christ. When he had finished, all 17 people fell to their knees, weeping before God. In just a few weeks, every church building in Wales was packed, and hundreds were standing on the outside, desiring to be on the inside. Within 5 months, the revival added 100,000 souls to the church in that little country. Listen, folks, there is no revival without first having an awakening. And so today, the five most dangerous prayers that you can pray. James 5:16, I'm just going to read it out of the Amplified. James 5:16 says this. Therefore, confess your sins to one another, your false steps, your offenses, and pray for one another that you may be healed and restored. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man, a believer, can accomplish much when put into action and made effective by God. It is dynamic and it can have tremendous power. My friends, you and I, we're living in exciting times. I mean, who would have thought the prince of the royal family would invite Holy Ghost believers to their wedding, man? And Jesus showed up in the middle of it. People were like, you watch it on TV, people are like, they were stunned. They were like, we thought this was about Harry and Meghan. No, it's about Jesus. Yeah. It's about the love of God, what God did in two women, or two men, or a man and a woman. Yeah, you get that right. Two people, right? And so God is up to something. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's up to something. Even in the midst of tumultuous times, in the midst of things going crazy, going haywire with terrorism and economies going all over, governments failing, all these things going on, God is moving. In God's hand, none of this surprises God. None of it does. Hebrews 12:25 says that everything that can be shaken will be shaken. God's moving, my friends. Jesus, well, you know what? Let's read 2 Chronicles 7, and then we're going to turn to Luke 21. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14, I'm reading out of the New Living. It says, then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Humble themselves means this, folks. When we come to God, we have no set agenda. If we want an awakening, it's like, God, I surrender all. Have your way in my life. Do what you do best, God. I cannot do it on my own. I need you. And so this is what he's saying. Humble themselves with no agenda and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. All of us have wicked ways lurking within us. Come on. And those wicked ways sometimes come up out of the grave and we got to smack them back down, kick them, and crucify that flesh in the name of Jesus. We have to do that. The Holy Spirit does not do that for us. We have to do it. But he gives us the power. Someone say power. He gives us the power to do it. To fight against those evil thoughts or words or plans or schemes or anything like that. We can say no in the name of Jesus. So we have to turn from our wicked ways. Then God says, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sins and restore their land. But verse 15, he says this, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive. To what? Prayers that are made in this place. He's not just talking about this place here, but he's talking about this place right here. So when we pray, when we become humble, when we empty ourselves of wicked ways, man, what we're saying is God, we're crying out to him, and God's going, yeah, I see ya. I see ya. Yeah, I see ya. And I'm hearing ya. Yeah, keep it up, young man. Keep it up, young lady. Right? Even those of us who are older, he still calls us young. Hallelujah. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, tell him, you're young, man. And you look marvelous. Yeah. God says, we'll hear from heaven. And then in Luke 21, if you want to turn there to Luke chapter 21, I'm going to give you those five dynamite prayers or dynamic prayers in just a second. But Jesus said this in Luke 21, verse 25, talking about where things are today. And by the way, you don't even have to read this. Turn on your news today. That's all. And I know many of us don't want to look at it, but it's reality. And let me just help you, Christian. Don't get saturated with, but don't be caught unaware. I mean, you know, the guy over there, little Kim over there in North Korea, he's trying to play things. We got somebody who's not going to play. I'm not going to play that, homie. No way. So my point is, anything could happen there. Don't be caught unaware. That's my point. Okay? God said, be aware. Don't be blind. Don't put the blinders. I know Christians say, I know that. Right? And then how do you know what even to pray for?
That's right.
How do you know? Right? Do you have any idea what the world's trying to do in shutting down the church?
Yeah.
Come on. They're trying to enact laws that we can't say things, we can't do, you know. And if you don't know about these things, how do you know what to pray against? Amen. But Jesus said in verse 25 of Luke 21, he said, and there will be strange signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and here on earth the nations will be in turmoil, perplexed by the roaring seas and strange tides. People will be terrified at what they see coming upon the earth. The powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then everyone will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud with power and great glory. So when all these things begin to happen, stand and look up, for your salvation is near. And so God is on the move, and Scripture is unfolding before our very eyes. And what I've been blessed, Jill and I have been blessed to observe, is all these movements, these prayer movements that are happening all over. There's hundreds of them right here in the Michigan, Indiana, Ohio region. Hundreds of churches and prayer, just like our church, that are getting them. They're seeking God. They know something's up. Something's up. The Spirit of God's showing them. There's a download coming from heaven saying, pray, pray, pray. And the first thing he's saying, we'll look at this in a minute, is clean your house, buddy. Clean your house. Am I right, Pastor Robert? Because, listen, God is a God of love, but he's also, see if I got one in there. Yeah, I do. Whose picture's on the front there, brother? George Washington, right, right. See, one side of the dollar bill. If it's blank on the other side and I try to put it in a machine, is it going to work?
Nope.
No. There's two sides. Got to have both sides for this to work.
Right.
God has more than one side of love.
Amen.
God's also a God of wrath. And see, love what God's doing in this generation, but a lot of them don't understand. They don't understand God's wrath. They don't understand character and integrity.
Right.
Okay? And that's why we need each other. Oh my goodness. Turn to your neighbor and say, we need each other. So there's more than one side. So God is calling the church to a deeper, more intimate prayer life than we've ever experienced before. Thus the message, the five most dangerous prayers. Now, how many have ever seen dynamite before? I mean, you've seen it or you've seen what it does, right? Dynamite, listen, dynamite's used to blow up buildings, blow up bridges. It's used to blow up mountains, make room for roads. Dynamite's used to build, have you ever seen out in North Dakota or South Dakota, Chief Crazy Horse, the big monument that they're building out there? Anybody ever see that? You can see it being built. They use dynamite to do all the sculpting on that granite rock. It's incredible. So dynamite's powerful, right? They use dynamite to implode buildings, to make room for new buildings. They use it to control avalanches, and they also use it in mining for silver and gold. My friends, the prayers that we pray are like dynamite. They're like dynamite. They're explosive. They're powerful. Don't think for a minute, man, that God's not listening and God's not moving. He is moving because we're crying out to Him. So, the first most powerful dynamite prayer that you can pray, get ready to write, number one. Here it is. God, search me. God, search me. Psalm 139, David cries out in this prayer. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Oh my gosh, this can be a battle sometimes. The battle of the mind, Joyce Meyer, you've read the book. If you haven't, great book. But the battle of the mind, right? Test me, God. Know my thoughts. What's going on? God, help me with this thing, man. Don't you sometimes just want to take your head off, right? And just live spirit and body. That's it. The soul, it can go. Come on. But we're not going to get that till we get to heaven. Say, well, we got to deal with this thing. But he says, search me. And it's sort of like this dealio here. Let's see if I can do this. Yeah. See, Allie, I'm pretty good with a little technology here, right? So when we pray a prayer like that, what we're saying to God is, God, go ahead, buddy. Go ahead, Lord. Turn the spotlight of your Holy Spirit on my life. Go ahead, God. Search me out. See if there's anything in there, Lord. Yeah, God, if there's something, God, would you take it out? Come on, how many want that exploratory surgery? The Lord comes in, the Holy Spirit comes in, says, man, there's a little something there. Can I get that out of you? Lord, please take it. It's bringing me pain, God. It's making me uncomfortable. And I don't like to be uncomfortable. God, remove this stupid thing from my life. How many know what I'm talking about? This is the prayer that David's praying. God, search me, test me, know my thoughts. And then he says, point out, Lord, point out anything in me that offends you and leads me in along the life of everlasting life. This is David's prayer. He's saying, go ahead. Do you know, sometimes in our life, we can just be kind of going along. Okay, I think I've shared this, maybe you haven't heard. But when I had my heart attack, October 23rd, 2016, massive heart attack, man, 99% blocked in the widow maker. Doctor says it's a miracle that I made it, and I know it was. But you know what? I knew I was far from that prayer. I was doing the little devotional every day, little Devo, and I'd go out there and do ministry and go to work and da-da-da, and just get so involved in ministry, I didn't spend time with God. And the very next day, a nurse came in our room, Miss Nancy. Never forget, Nurse Nancy. We all need a Nurse Nancy in our life. She's a Christian lady, and she said to me, what are you doing here? And I said, I had a heart attack. She said, no, I'm just making this real quick. She said, no, what are you doing here? You're too young to have a heart attack. What? She goes, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a pastor. And she went just like this. She said, and as soon as she started talking, I started weeping. She said, I'll tell you what you're doing here. The Lord put you here because you won't listen. Just like that. She said, you're out there trying to help everybody else, but you don't spend enough time with God. And God allowed this to happen to you, so you can't run anymore. Are you going to listen? Yes! Yes! Oh, Lord! God, search me. Man, that prayer has a whole new meaning to my life. And guess what? I haven't learned it. I'm learning it. Are you learning that today? God, search me. David was willing to deal with whatever the Lord found in his life. And folks, this takes guts and it takes humility. David said in Psalm 51:10, he said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. What's he saying? David's saying, I want to be right with you, God. I don't want anything between me and you. Just take that out of my... It might be offense. You know, I've shared the story. Jill and I, we had a hard time with our family for almost 2 years. Our son and daughter-in-law weren't speaking to us, and we just couldn't understand. And, you know, wasn't speaking to our daughter. And, you know, and I'm like, I want to take this guy out. I'm going to kill him and tell him God died, you know. I'm like, God. And Jill kept saying, no, we need to pray. Well, we continue to pray. But guess what? Easter weekend, we had a resurrected family. The Lord showed up. Amen. Why? Because we prayed. even though I wanted to kill him. Yeah. I say that jokingly. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. And you know what's so cool about this? The Lord understands. Yeah. He understands. Okay? How many times? Well, I won't go there. Never mind. So, Lord, search me. Number two, second prayer. Is it like sticks of dynamite, man, blowing things up, right? God, stretch me. God, stretch me. Isaiah 54 and 2 says this, enlarge the place of your tent. In other words, stretch out. Okay? Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them be stretched out, the curtains of your dwelling place. So our prayer to God in God, stretch me is, God, stretch my vision. God, help me to see, help me to hear what you see and what you hear. I want to see, I want to know that. You know, I don't want to look at a person with earrings and tattoos, and not that I do, because I love it. I always see guys with tattoos, and I go, man, that's cool. What is that, man? And so they begin to talk, and it just opens up the door for maybe Jesus to show up, right? Amen. So it's like, God, open my eyes to what you see. Open my heart. Stretch my heart. Give me that compassion for all people, especially our own family members. You know, I had to step back and I thought, you know, maybe I did some things as a father inadvertently to my son that maybe he was ticked off about. I don't know, you know, but I was willing to confess that and to get that out and just like, Lord, stretch me, right? Stretch me to be a better witness this year for Jesus. How about that? Jesus, he stretches us in Matthew 5:16. He stretches us with these words. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father in heaven. God, stretch me. And many of you have been stretched this year. I know, how many have been stretched this year? You've been stretched in your personal life. You've been stretched at work. You've been stretched here at the church. Pastor Tommy, praise God, man, brings that word, man. That ought to stretch us. That ought to, we ought to, Lord, that's for me. So, Lord, stretch me. Hallelujah. Prayer number three. Prayer. This is if you want renewal. Anybody want revival here? Oh, wait a minute, I don't see all the hands again. What happened? Did I lose some of you? Oh, heavens, no. Oh, no. Yeah, because, listen, I know this to be true. Revival or renewal involves, I'm just going to get it out front with you, involves pain. It does. It's painful. It's like, man, I got to change that too? Man, gosh, Lord. You think you had it licked, and all of a sudden, here we are, right? We're older than life. I'm still saying things I shouldn't be saying that I said when I was a drill sergeant to Jill. And she reminds me, hey, I'm not one of your troops. And I'm like, oh, yeah, right. Right, Jillybo? Oh, yeah. So here it is. Number three, God, break me. Break me. Someone once said this, two things. I don't know who said it, but listen, don't trust a man or woman of God unless they walk with a limp. Here's this. Here's why. Because I've known pastors or leaders that say, hey, we don't have any problems. Our marriage is great. We've never argued in our life. I tell you a true story. Many, many years ago, one of my pastors, they end up getting divorced. She turned lesbian, and he's with some other woman. It's like, and you guys never have problems? See what I'm saying? But they came across, and this is, by the way, this is one of the number one reasons why millennials aren't connecting with church anymore. It's because the leaders aren't transparent. And so they come across, or they've come across in the past, like, we got it all together, man. We don't have any needs. God supplied all our needs. Everything's wonderful, isn't it? No. Don't trust. I'm telling you. Don't trust a person of God unless they walk with a limp. In other words, they can be transparent. Here's another one. God can't use a man or woman of God greatly until they've been broken greatly. Think about it. I think about Peter, the brokenness of the man to reject Christ, the one he walked with for 3 years, saw the miracles, did all the, and he was sat right at his feet, and he was being taught every day. And here Peter denied he even knew Christ 3 times. When it counted most, Peter could not be counted on. Until he cried out to God, God, break me. And God began to do a work in Peter's life. And because of that, the Holy Spirit, he's doing works in our lives. Someone say amen. Amen. Hosea 10:12 says this, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. And what he's saying is break up any hardness of heart that we may have. Break up those bad habits. Break them off. Break up the bitterness. Break off the unforgiveness towards people. Break off the addictions and the negative attitudes. Break off the negative speech out of our lives. God is breaking down religious walls. Again, who would have ever thought? I watched that royal wedding because she wanted to watch it. So I sat with her, and I'm watching this. Oh, this is nice because she's all into the queen and the hierarchy. And we used to watch, and I do love that show, Downton Abbey. I watched every show. I've watched every season with her. We've all said, you love all that, the ups and the down people. You know what I'm talking about? The people that live upstairs and the people that live downstairs. I'd have been one of those downstairs guys, you know. I would have been Carson. I'm Carson, right? I'm a servant, right? So anyway, but who would have thought at the royal wedding, he was just sitting there watching TV, like, okay. And then they invite this bishop up, and he gets up there, and he's all in his robes. Yeah. And all of a sudden, Jesus shows up. I'm like, oh my gosh, yeah, come on, keep preaching that, brother. Yeah, yeah. I'm sitting there, man, I'm having a good old time. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Break up. Break up. God's breaking walls down. Someone say amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Whoa, we got to go. Prayer. Dynamite prayer number 4. Here it is. Oh, God, lead me. God, lead me. You know, Jesus said to his father, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. I mean, the guy's sweating blood, about to go to the cross, knows what's going to happen to him, and he's saying, not my will, but your will. And folks, what this involves, and this is I'm just telling on myself, biggest area. Do you know, I haven't read the book yet, but I was given a book by a pastor on David Wilkerson's life. I mean, you know, David Wilkerson died a few years ago. Do you know, the biggest thing that David Wilkerson struggled with his entire life, that, and here he is preaching all over the world, that God truly loved him. He wrestled in depression. He wrestled with that until the day he died. Here he is, man of God, but being very transparent. Okay? And so, what I struggle with is this whole idea of this trusting God, that God's going to see everything through. You know, it's just like, but God, how many of you know what I'm talking about? I want to see it, God. I want to see it. I want to see it now. Now, now, God. You know, I'm like that little 7-year-old boy. Come on, Dad. Come on. I want it now. Come on. So, but we have to trust God. Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Psalm 62, 5 and 8 is an awesome, awesome scripture on worshiping and trusting God. Paul said in Romans 8, 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the Son of God. And this is the mark of a child of God, that we're being led by the Lord. God, lead me. In the last, most powerful, dynamic prayer, is this, and many of you have, I can tell, you have, God has spoken to you, and you put your hand to the plow, and here it is, God, use me. Use me. God, use me, wherever that might be, okay? Some people think, I don't have anything to offer, all I do is pray. Oh my gosh, that's the most, that is like the heavy artillery softening up the enemy before we come in and wipe out the enemy.
Right.
See what I'm saying? Prayer, oh my gosh, intercessory prayer. We need that,
yes,
right?
Yes.
God needs that. And so God, use me. And I love what Isaiah says here in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. It says, then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then I said, here I am, send me. Do you know, remnants of this prayer is in the creed and the code of conduct for the U.S. Army Green Berets. They use that as their tip of the spear to go in where nobody else will go, to go into behind the enemy lines to rescue people, to do that's what they say right there. Lord, send me. I'll go. Man, does that take some guts or what? And so when we say a prayer like that, look out what God's going to do. Amen. I'm just telling you. Many years ago, when Jill and I came to the Lord, and then we backslid for 2.5 years. Oh, here's a word for you guys. Here's a word. There's no such, for those of us who might be getting older, is there anybody here who's not getting it? No. Nah, we're not getting older. But listen, there's no retirement in the gospel. There's only refirement. Are you hearing me? Yeah, there's only refirement. Okay? And check this out. Miss Grace gave me this after. She said, Pastor Mark, earthly brokenness brings heavenly openness. Wow, is that something, right? Earthly brokenness brings heavenly openness. And so many years ago, after Jill and I got saved, we backslid for a couple of years. We went right back out in the world, all the whole drug party scene, all that stuff. And it wasn't until an Army sergeant said, Bud, you need to get your life straight, get back with God, or I'm telling you this, I can't guarantee you're going to make heaven because you're a bonehead. And so we went back to church, and people came up to us and said, we think you'd be great in children's ministry. I said no. She said yes. I'm like, we can't do it. And guess what? I'm so glad I finally said yes, because here we are today, 40 years later, because I finally came to the point of God use me. And here's the thing. This is a word for you young people here. Listen. You don't have to wait. You know, Flint. Come here, Flint. Come here. I just want to give you an illustration. Flint. He's like my right-hand man back there in children's ministry. I'm glad you're sitting in church today, bud. Yeah. So this guy here, how old are you, buddy?
14.
14. He comes to Pastor Mark, what do you need me to do? What do you need me to do? How can I be used of God? And so we as the older celebrate the younger. Are you hearing me? And so this guy's going to be, who knows, someday for Jesus. Who knows? Who knows? But he's got a God, use me. And we're never, there's no retirement, there's only refirement. So thank you, bro. Give Flint a big hand here. Amen. So here it is, folks. As we leave today, just God, whatever you want to do in our lives, whatever you want to do, God, have your way. So Father, we thank you for today. God, we thank you, Lord, that you're so gentle and so patient with us, God. Even when we blow it, you're not looking for perfection. Oh, I love that about you. But you are looking to perfect us. And that only comes by sitting under your feet, at your feet, and say, Lord, search me. Search me, God. God, stretch me. Do what you want to do, Lord, with my life. Oh, Father, we thank you for all that you're doing. And today, while we close in prayer, I just need to ask, is there anyone here that say, Pastor Mark, I just need to be refired a little bit. Would you pray for me? Would you remember me in your prayers? Is there anyone like that today? Lift your hand. Thank you, brother. Thank you, sister. See your hand. Amen. Yep, see you in the back. Thank you. Anyone here today? Thank you, brother. See your hand. Anyone here today? Say, Pastor Mark, man, I'm not right with God. I need to get my life squared away with Jesus. Anybody like that today? We can pray for. All right. Well, let's just all just lift our hands. Come on. Let's just, Father, we thank you, God, for your greatness. As we sang earlier today, how great you are, how awesome you are, Lord. And Father, we thank you again that you're so patient with us. And Lord, we simply say, Lord, we want to be renewed. We want to be refreshed, and we want to be in revival, God. Whatever that looks like, Lord, we're yours today. Father, for those that lifted their hands that just need a fresh touch, a fresh fire from you, touch them today, Lord. And Lord, touch them tomorrow and the next day, God. Lord, you know how earthly we are at times, and we go in those ebbs and flows and ups and downs. Lord, keep us more times on the ups than the downs, Lord. And we just thank you for that. Lord, we ask that you go with us today. Use us this even this weekend as we gather around family and friends and remember those who fought, bled, and died for this country, God. Thank you, God, for their sacrifice. And so just bless our time today. Give us traveling mercies in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.